Welcome to a brand new episode of the All Hoops Podcast, your go-to home for all things basketball. I'm your host, Steve Inman, and as always, I'm joined by producer to the stars, Chris Brito. We're celebrating today as after 8 long seasons, the New York Knicks are back in the playoffs. They will finish somewhere between the 4 through 6 seeds, so Chris and I will express our confidence levels for each of the 3 opponents they could potentially play. But first, Chris, my friend, the Knicks are back. So are we. How are you?
What's up, Stevie? I'm elated that the Knicks are finally back in the playoffs, the first time since the 2013 season. You know, just seeing them back to relevance and being one of the best teams in the NBA is something I did not expect, admittedly. I was one of those people who thought this was probably going to be an NBA lottery team. I've never been so happy to be this wrong. The team has been playing so well defensively. They are such a joy to watch. Every night, they're out there trying their best. I think out of all the games, I think we can honestly say out of all the games, they've just tried their best. And I think to see that gives me a lot of pride that this is my team. But on top of that, they're showing that in the win-loss column. And they are, as you said, could fall between 4 and 6. It could go either way, but you know what? Out of all 3 opponents that they could potentially face, whether it's the Heat, the Hawks, the Bucks, I'm confident in this team. Like, this team for me just registers a level of confidence because of how well they play defensively and how well Randle has grown into this year. Who would have saw that coming? We thought this man should have gotten traded, and now we're talking about him getting a max contract. Crazy how in 1 year things can so dramatically change.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, to start with Randle, we had a show earlier, probably the first week of the year, where I basically said, like, I think he's worth a first-round pick, like, to trade. I just didn't see a team willing to do it. I didn't see, like, where cap-wise it works because of his contract. And it's just crazy how much he's improved. And when you talk about, like, the most improved player in the year, Chris, it's usually a rookie player who you saw breaking out into that second year, you know, a Michael Porter Jr. kind of player, right? You don't really see it from a 6-year man, a 7th-year man who, you know, he's had his opportunities as the go-to guy on a franchise with the Knicks. And really all that changed was he just got in better shape. He learned he got his jumper going. Tibbs deserves some credit, but most of the credit, Chris, goes to Julius Randle. I mean, he went into camp and Tibbs said, yeah, this is the guy. Like, I didn't really see this coming. Like, this isn't something where Tibbs, like, transformed him. Julius Randle put in the work himself, and he deserves number one deserves the most credit on this team. There's also Tom Thibodeau, who I did not see coming, Chris, to be coach of the year today.
I remember, Steve. I remember.
Yeah, you should, because you know what? I was like, he's going to squeeze every little win out of this team, but at the same time, it's not going to be good for their long-term future. Chris, their long-term future remains bright. They didn't sacrifice anything to be winners this year. They have their long-term cap space, which, as you said, is going to go towards a Julius Randle max contract. But they also have the money to re-sign Mitch if they want. They also have money next summer for RJ Barrett. They also, more importantly, perhaps more importantly than all these things, they have money to go out and get a point guard this summer, whether it's Lonzo Ball as a restricted free agent, whether maybe it's Kyle Lowry, or maybe, you know what, if you look around with the Indiana Pacers, that team is crumbling. That team is falling apart. Is it possible you can trade one of these Mavs picks and something else and go pry away Malcolm Brogdon? You know, there's a million ways that the Knicks can add to this core, but at this very moment, Chris, this core looks pretty good.
I think you said it best. The core, which I think is everybody from Julius Randle to Emmanuel Quigley to RJ Barrett, a lot of them are under the age of 27, with the exception of Derrick Rose, who we all know is not 27 or anything close to that.
They have the money to go bring him back too.
But you know what though, we have the money to re-sign guys like Rose, guys like Bullock, guys like
Alec Burks.
And even Noel. And I think Noel probably deserves another look. He's played tremendously as the starting center for this team. And frankly, we haven't missed Mitchell Robinson much since in his absence. So looking forward to this team. Like, there are so many things to be hopeful of, you know, and the front office also deserves some sort of credit here because they number one, haven't screwed it up, haven't made any decisions that will impact their near and long-term future. And right now it's just a matter of plugging in the right pieces. Like, you know, we were talking with our buddy Sebs about, you know, what pieces will look great here. So as you said, we need a point guard. We need a point guard who can shoot, someone who is not Elfrid Payton, and potentially a center that can shoot the ball and also defend. You know, names like Miles Turner came up with that. So there's a lot of things to look forward to. But right now, I'm just enjoying this ride. We're going to go to the playoffs. I can't believe I'm saying that still. And we've just come a long way, a long, long way. And I can't tell you how proud I am of this team. And they've given such hope to the city, especially in wake of the pandemic. And I don't know. I just can't wait for the playoffs to start.
Yeah, I can't wait too. And yes, we will find a way to have a show where we pry apart the Pacers roster and put them all as Knicks. But for now, Chris, the playoffs are coming. The Knicks are going to play one of the Bucks, Heat, or Hawks. So let's start off with the Bucks. And we'll get a little more positive as we go along. Obviously, the Bucks are a title contender. This is a team that many thought was going to win the whole thing last year. They come back this year. They add Drew Holiday. They've had a very good regular season. It's not the blazing through the regular season, the 60-win pace that they have been the last couple years, but they're still an elite team. What is your confidence level out of 10 that the Knicks can pull off that upset if that becomes a 3-6 matchup?
You know, I'm basing this on how the Knicks played really well against them early on in the season, and they blew them out. And I thought that particular victory really gave the confidence to this team that they can beat anybody. So, that being said, my confidence level, while not very high, I'd probably go around 4 or 5 out of 10, just because the Bucks, aside from having someone like Giannis, they have players like Middleton and Holiday who could really lessen the load. Like, in years past, maybe the Knicks had a better chance. I just think that with everything slowing down in the playoffs, you know, you could neutralize Giannis as best as you can, but then you have to worry about those two other guys. But you know what? The Knicks have a solid team defense, and there's not no chance. I just think that it's a toss-up. I think that the Knicks could play them hard, and I'm sure no team wants a piece of the Knicks in the first round either.
Totally agree with that. I mean, if I'm the Bucks, I think, to be honest, I'd much rather play the Hawks. I might even rather play the Miami Heat, right? Like, Miami took them apart last year, but does not look like the same team they were a year ago. I put my confidence level at a 3 on this, and I think that's just because they just have too much firepower, Chris. Obviously, even if they are able to slow down Giannis, which I think is going to be really hard. Like, I know we're giving Noel credit and Julius Randle's defensive effort credit, but like the idea of those two guys holding Giannis to under 30 a game in a series, that sounds tough. Like, that sounds pretty tough. So while I think the Knicks could get a game or two, I would say that's the least preferred option of the three, which makes these last couple games really important, right? Like, if you win these last couple games, you can avoid that, and you can get that 4 or 5 seed, and you're winding up playing Atlanta or Miami, probably Atlanta, and I love the Knicks' chances against them. But let's start next with the Miami Heat. Chris, Oladipo is done for the year, which I think is crazy to think how this thing started with Oladipo turning down the giant extension in Indiana. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's part of this three-team mega deal for James Harden, where at least the Rockets got Caris LeVert, right? They at least got a building block for the future. Oh, wait, no, they didn't. They swapped him for Victor Oladipo and then swapped Victor Oladipo for nothing. So the real losers here are the Rockets, but to the Heat, they're not going to have Victor Oladipo. What do you think of their the Knicks' chances in a 7-game series against them?
Well, the Heat, I'm actually really scared of the Heat because I think out of the many teams in the NBA, I think they resemble the Knicks the most in terms of intensity. on the defensive end. And they have players who have been tested, who have gone to the finals, and they have potentially the players that could best neutralize Julius Randle. So in order to win a game like that, you need big games from Derrick Rose and you need big games from RJ Barrett, and expose the mismatches that the Heat could potentially throw at the Knicks if, you know, one of the, you know, the Tyler Heroes of the world guard one of those guys. And so at the same token, I do think that the Knicks have this one more so than the Bucks one gives me a lot of anxiety, because it could just go either way, and I don't even think it's close. You know, okay. It's like,
so you're more confident the Knicks can beat the Bucks than the Heat?
No. I'm not ridiculous, but I do think I'm actually pretty scared of the Heat. But at the same time, listen, if you want to make the finals, you have to go through whoever you have to go through. And yeah. So the one thing I do think is in the Knicks' favor is that the Heat, you know, I wonder how much fatigue will be a factor. And the Knicks are probably running on fresher legs than the Heat are. You know, the NBA finals was what, 6 months ago? 7 months ago?
October. So yeah, 6-7 months. Yeah.
So get this, the Heat are running on, you know, less than 2 months rest or 3 months rest and starting the NBA season. You know, it's really just recently where they started to play better. So, you know, it could go either way. I love the Knicks' chances against anybody, but, you know, the Heat are the Heat, man. I respect the hell out of them too.
Yeah, so my confidence level here will be a 5, which to me puts that as a toss-up series, kind of, I think, similar to you, where it can go either way, right? Like, the Knicks could win this series, but you can very well see the Heat winning this series, too, with their playoff experience, you know, their shooting. I think they're a team that they play like us, which to me is concerning. Like, the way the Knicks have been winning games is, like, you're getting Giannis frustrated because he's not dealing with this physical play anywhere else. Well, this is a team that does the same thing. They know how to have a rock fight series, right? So I'm not too keen on playing them. If you can avoid it, I would love to play Atlanta. And again, we've had this discussion about trying to find a way to maneuver your way to the series you want. It's going on in the Western Conference. Watch. It'll happen in the Western Conference this weekend. You're going to be seeing, oh, all of a sudden the Nuggets aren't playing any of their guys. Or, you know, the Clippers are playing all of their guys for some reason. So it'll be very interesting to see how all these seedings play out, not just for the Knicks, but for the entire league. Lastly, we got the Atlanta Hawks. Chris, I feel very confident in this series. I think I'm going to go an 8 out of 10. I really believe that this Hawks team is very overrated. I understand that Nate McMillan has gotten them really far. But look, if you can slow down Trae Young and make him have an inefficient series, I think you could easily win this series in, say, 5 games.
So here's how I feel about the Hawks. I'm still a little bit more cautious with them. My confidence level is around a 6 or a 7. I think people are sleeping a little bit on that offensive firepower. And I think the Knicks have had some trouble. The Knicks had some trouble when, before Trae got injured in that last game, the Knicks were having trouble, you know, battling their arsenal of offensive weapons. But here's my reason why to be optimistic. The Knicks just frustrate the hell out of everybody. And I wonder how much inexperience will be a factor, you know, for both teams, because the Knicks are pretty young, but the Knicks probably have a little bit more experience because they have people like Derrick Rose on the team. So I wonder how that will impact Trae Young. And I think if Trae Young, you know, once the Hawks start out, maybe with if Trae Young struggles shooting, I think the Hawks will be in trouble after that.
Last question here before we move on from the Knicks. So obviously Thibodeau has run a very tight camp. They played a lot of minutes this year. It's something I was concerned about. Going from the other end now, their last game is Sunday, right? They're probably not going to play again until next Saturday, their first round series. Is that a concern, Rust, for a 6-game layoff? Or do you think that might be
six-day layoff.
Is that something that could be used to the Knicks' advantage, where you know Thibodeau is going to be running crazy practices?
I think this will be a super advantage. I think I think it really gives the Knicks a little bit more time to sharpen whatever they need to sharpen, rest wherever they need to rest. You know, as we saw, you know, quickly is recovering from some stuff. So is Derrick Rose, and so is Alec Burks, I believe, as well. So, and you know, who knows? We may also get Mitch Robinson back for the playoffs as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think at this point, Noel is the starter, you know, the way he's played. I would think with Mitch not playing in the last couple of months, they were going to try to ease his minutes in. But you know what? You have him as your backup center for a couple of weeks. That's not a bad thing in the world either.
And you know what? To that point, Mitch Robinson's best play as the Knicks was probably as a backup center anyway.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. So we'll have to wait and see on that. Chris and I will be back to discuss who the Knicks will actually play when that is official early next week. But for now, let's get to our final thoughts right after this. Okay, Chris, final thoughts time. LeBron James continues to get pushed back from his ankle problem. They were supposed to come back Tuesday versus the Knicks. Now, all of a sudden, it was Wednesday against the Rockets. Now it's, well, who knows? And now the Lakers are likely going to play in this playing game as the 7 seed. LeBron is banged up, or worse. Are they in trouble?
They are not in trouble because the Lakers are so sound defensively that I think they could, much like the Knicks, much like the Heat, they can wear off frustrate teams as well. You know, everything is hanging on LeBron's injury. Like we can't expect the Lakers to make any championship buzz if LeBron James is not at least 51% of what he is. So they're not in trouble yet, but I'd love to see LeBron James in uniform before they go into the playoffs. I think not having him before, I think really puts the Lakers at a disadvantage. You know, I think even just to be out there on the floor, I think will give the team a moral boost and maybe the confidence they need to whoever they face in the first round. But that being said, I am gunning for a Suns-Lakers first round matchup.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. If the Lakers are healthy, though, I would definitely put them as the favorites to beat anyone at West, but especially the Suns. But we'll have to wait and see on that. I'm not sure if they're healthy. I mean, these are important games right now. They don't want to play in a play-in tournament where all of a sudden they shoot badly for 2 games and they're out, right? So if LeBron was healthy, he'd be playing right now, and they would close this thing out and they would get out of that 7 seed, but he's not. So
yeah, but this all adds a little bit of drama, though. Who, you know,
it's good for us. I'm just saying I'm a little concerned if I'm the Lakers.
Fair enough. I do hope they catch up to the Mavericks and then the Mavericks drop down, go to the playing game, but who knows?
Yeah, that's not happening. I mean, the Mavericks schedule like down the stretch is like the easiest.
Super easy, right? Yeah.
Like let me read off who they're playing. So they got Toronto tomorrow night or Friday night. Toronto basically told their players, go home, we're tanking. We have and then they have the Timberwolves, and that's it. They have 2 games left, and the Raptors, who are done, and the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and then they blew out the Pelicans last night.
The Pelicans, who basically, I think they're the most disappointing team of any of the teams that didn't make the playoffs, right?
I disagree. I'm going to go with the Kings on that one.
Okay. I think because, just with them, they have, you know, Zion played mostly a full season, and at the same time, they really didn't improve. You know, Lonzo was probably their second best, was their best fit with Zion, right? And they might lose him. Ingram kind of took another step back defensively, and the Adams trade and extension didn't work. So I'm like, I don't really see how they improve next year in a loaded West.
Okay, that's fair. I still think that you give a team a little bit of slack just because, you know, there was no training camp and there were some new pieces. The Kings, on the other hand, they've had that sort of core for like the last 2 or 3 seasons, and they've only smelled being close to the playoffs. They've never actually been in the playoffs. So
yeah, they'll fire Luke Walton. They'll find some coach that has this genius idea to just play fast again, and they'll be decent. Like they're not a 5 seed, but I don't see why they can't
finish. what was that word that you texted me yesterday? They're going to be a plucky 9 seed or something like that. 8
seed. That's literally what they're going to be. Yeah, and Look, I mean, if you're them, you have Fox on a giant deal. You got to figure out what to do with Heald and Bagley. You have Halliburton. Like, it's not a bad core, right? So, you know, they're going to finish out of the playoffs. They got to hit on this draft pick. They got to find another guy to go with this group because this roster is young, but it's also very expensive. So, like, they can't go out in free agency and get some guy to join this core, even though they couldn't find anybody anyway if they had cap space because it's Sacramento. But I don't know. I think they're going to be okay. It's just this is not a championship group. Last thing before we wrap the show, shout out Russell Westbrook, most triple doubles of all time. Chris, he's a Hall of Famer, obviously, but I'm sure you have more you want to say about him.
Nothing. I just think that we should all appreciate the greatness that is Russell Westbrook. I know he's a frustrating player for some or many, but to see that record go down in our lifetime is kind of like, it's pretty big. I think it's not as big as the scoring title. I think the scoring title will eventually go to LeBron James when he passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But, you know, triple doubles, that's huge. You know, we saw a few from Julius Randle this year, and it was, what, five? And I think Russell has more than 15 or 17, I believe. Well, anyway, he hit the record for 182, which is amazing. Huge, huge.
Okay, here's my last question. Does a player currently playing in today's NBA break that record someday?
I think only Luka could touch it.
Yeah, I think he's got a shot if he's healthy. But at the same time, it is a remarkable, remarkable accomplishment that it held up for such a long time. And no matter what you think of Russell Westbrook, you know, he will be remembered for this number for sure. And we'll have to wait and see if he can get that ring to go with it. But either way, he's a Hall of Famer in my book.
For sure, for sure. I just want to give a quick shout out to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who, you know, the NBA today announced they were going to name him. They named their new social justice award after him. I think that was pretty cool from the NBA, and I can't think of a more fitting person for the award to be named after.
Very well said. That is going to do it for us here on the All Hoops podcast. Chris, thank you so much as always. We will be back early.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you for being such a great host.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We're going to talk some play-in games next week. It's going to be do or die, the best time of the year. It's the NBA playoffs. They're going to be longer than ever, too, which is pretty cool with these play-in games. I can't wait. I think also next week, Chris, let's discuss, are these play-in games good for the NBA? I want you to think about that. We're going to answer that next week. And remember to follow us on our social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You know where to find us, the All Hoops Podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys. You know my